Speaking on this program is Brother James Watkins.
Our Lord occasionally used object lessons in his teaching. For instance, do you recall what he said in John chapter 12, verse 24? He said, "Except a grain of wheat fall unto the earth and die, it abideth by itself alone. But if it die, it beareth much fruit." Now, you think about that for a moment. You and I have seen wheat seed, a grain of wheat, just a single grain, very small. As a matter of fact, if you're not careful, you'll drop it. But you know, when you plant that little seed into fertile soil, given the right circumstances, weather, how many such seeds will that one little seed produce? But it must die in order to do so. Put it into the earth, and in the process arranged by the Almighty, it comes forth and bears many times its own number. It is amazing, isn't it? What is the Lord actually saying here in using this object lesson, the wheat seed? Oh, mankind is in sin. The human family is alienated from God. And Jesus Christ, while in his personal ministry, was doing a great deal of good. As a matter of fact, many wonderful works were performed by him. Made the lame to walk and the blind to see, the deaf to hear. Raised and restored the dead. However, all of those people died. That was temporary. That did not endure eternally. Now, what he's saying is, when he dies, he will provide for the salvation of all mankind. The eternal welfare of man is contingent upon the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. You see, the wages of sin is death. Romans 6 at verse 23. Jesus died bearing my sin. He paid the penalty for my transgressions. He thus, by his death and subsequent resurrection, made available the salvation of the human family. Except the grain of wheat fall into the earth and die, it abideth by itself alone. And you know, the very next statement that he made was, "He that loveth his life loseth it. Oh, but he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto eternal life." Lord, what is the significance of that? If you place the emphasis upon the material, just as the personal ministry of Christ made the lame to walk, but that lame man would die. He raised Lazarus from the dead, but Lazarus died again. You see, everything here is material, therefore it is limited. It endures for a very brief period of time. Oh, but he said, "He that hateth his life in this world," and that word hateth in this context simply means to love less. Sure, we appreciate the opportunities that are ours, the achievements that are made, and we take care of our physical bodies. It is indeed a gift of God, and we're grateful for it. But if you place the emphasis on the physical man, you lose your soul. You see, as Paul said, the natural man receiveth not the things of God. They're foolishness to him, and he cannot know them. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 at verse 14. So then, we need to place the emphasis properly. Object lessons. Grain of wheat. What a lesson indeed. Let me today, for the next few moments, use an object lesson. Let me, for instance, tell you about my old ballpoint pen. Now, I brought a rather large one so that we could see it and comprehend what we're saying with regard to it. But I believe a good lesson can be taught. I've talked to young people along this line a number of times, but this pen is a dual instrument. That is, it has an outside and it has an inside. And of course, we understand that. But think for a moment with me. You could adorn the exterior, the material, visible part of this pen with precious stones. As a matter of fact, you could put a diamond on it. You could put a solid gold band around it. You could put 100% silver tip on it. You could dress it up so that it is beautiful to look at. It is a fine, beautiful, however, the exterior, the outside of this pen is really of little value. No. It is the inside of this pen that is functional. And I need to understand that. A dual instrument, an outside and an inside. Do you know that is exactly the way you are, the way I am? This is characteristic of the human family. Didn't Paul teach that in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, beginning at verse 16? He said, "Wherefore we faint not, but though our outward man..." What is this? "The outward man is decaying, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is for the moment, worketh for us more and more exceedingly an eternal weight of glory." Now, what's the viewpoint? "While we look not at the things that are seen," the material, "for the things that are seen are temporal. Oh, but the things that are not seen are eternal. And we know that if the earthly house of this tabernacle be dissolved, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens." That continues through verse 1 of chapter 5. What is he saying here? Man is a dual, twofold being. There is the external, outward, physical man. That's temporary. You're born into this world, you live for a while, you accomplish this or that, and you die. We understand that. "Though our outward man is decaying, growing old, our inward man is renewed day by day." Now, you know, in this old world, regarding the physical man, which houses the spiritual, eternal nature, where do you and I place the emphasis? If we aren't very careful, it'd be similar to this old pen. We could adorn that exterior. Yes, sir. We can place the emphasis on the physical man, but it just simply will not last. It doesn't work that way. That's why Peter said in 1 Peter chapter 3, at verse 3, speaking of women, he said, "Whose adorning? Let it not be the outward adorning of braiding the hair, wearing jewels of gold, or the putting on of apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart, in the incorruptible apparel of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price." Is Peter saying here that the woman is not to wear jewelry, a gold ring or a necklace? Why, certainly not. If he is, he's saying she shouldn't wear clothing. Because he said, "Whose adorning, let it not be the braiding of the hair, or the wearing of jewels, or the putting on of apparel." No, that's not what he's saying. What he's saying is we need to place the emphasis properly. But let it be the hidden man of the heart. Here is that which needs the adornment. That is the eternal nature of man. You see, the physical changes, it's going to pass. A worthy woman, who can find? Solomon asked. Her price is far above rubies. The heart of her husband trusteth in her, and he shall have no lack of gain. She doeth him good and not evil all the days of her life. And he goes on there in Proverbs chapter 30, that's beginning at verse 10, to describe the worthy woman. And there is nothing greater or provides a more powerful, wonderful influence than a godly, virtuous woman. Now, there's no question about that. Oh, but you remember what he said in verse 30. Grace is deceitful. Beauty is vain. Oh, but the woman that feareth Jehovah, she shall be praised. Where are we to place the emphasis? On the material, the external, the temporary? No. It's the inside that is functional, that is durable, that will live forever. Oh, and it is the adornment of the inner man that expresses that which is beneficial and productive to those about us. The old physical man is here. Now, it can be ugly or handsome, but that's beside the point. You can do everything you can, you know, face lift and take the wrinkles. Hey, it's going to need ironing. Yes, sir, it's going to wrinkle. There's no question about that. You see that every day, at least when you attain my age, you do. You don't look like you once did. That's all right. That's just temporary. That's just physical. That's what Paul said. The outward man is decaying. Oh, but if I, through the study and application of God's eternal word, adorn the inward man, it will not only give a good appearance and influence and impact on the part of the outward physical man, but it will ensure my eternal welfare in the final analysis. So we need to emphasize the inward spiritual man. A dual being, an outward man and an inward man. It's the inward part that is of eternal significance. Or just as the inside of this pen is the functional part. Suppose you had just the outside. Oh, you could make it pretty. It'd be fun. What would you use it for? Nothing. Nothing. It wouldn't write. It would be of no benefit at all. It's the inside that works. We need to adorn the spiritual, the eternal nature. Then, even in the physical realm, our representing Christ will be effective in the lives, in the hearts, the conduct of our fellow man. So they are dual beings. That's just like this old pen. But you know, there's something else about this pen. It has a point. You run that out there. That point makes its mark. By the way, what is your point in living? What are your goals? What is your aim in life? And everyone needs such a goal, such an aim to stabilize his conduct, his very being. There are a few people in the world today who are psychologically maladjusted. They have problems that really are only in consequence of the fact that he doesn't know where he's going. He's made no plans for life. He has no goal set before him. There is no direct or immediate primary interest in his life. What is your point? What's your goal? Young people especially, think about it. You may be a medical doctor. You could be an attorney. You may become an educator. All of these are noble. You may be a storekeeper, vital to our wealth. There are 10,000 goals that you may seek to achieve, and that's noble. That's good. That's what this whole life is all about. But friend, whatever you become, whatever you may aspire to be in life, sure, a servant, a benefactor, you're going to be helpful to your fellow man, you want to engage in a business that is productive in our society, that's noble, that's great, but it will be far more effective. And you will be much happier if you perform in that particular area of service to which you aspire today as a child of God. There's no question about that. You know, that's why Solomon said in Ecclesiastes 12 at verse 1, "Remember also thy Creator in the days of thy youth, before the evil days come and the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them." Friends, your life will be much more productive. Your relationship to your fellow man, when you exhibit the love that characterizes the Son of God, when you show that concern for your customers, your clientele, those people whom you serve, it will mean more to you in this life, infinitely more in the life to come. Your eternal welfare is at stake. Do you remember what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 16, verse 26? "For what shall a man be profited if he should gain the whole world and lose his own soul?" Think about it. Sure, you could achieve your goal, and you can do a great deal of good, and you can become wealthy. As a matter of fact, you can be respected by your peers. You can be a philanthropist. You can give to the poor. You can help. But if you lose your soul, friends, you have missed the entire point of living. That's who we are. That's what life is all about. That's why Jesus died, for our eternal welfare, our spiritual development. So no matter what you do in life, no matter what goal you may choose, it will be more productive if you serve the Lord as His child. and then you will be much more effective in your work upon this earth. So this old pen has a point. What is your point in living? What are you seeking to achieve? And bear in mind that it will be much more productive, and it will be far more satisfying to you personally if you perform as a faithful child of God. But there's something else about this pen. It makes an indelible mark. Maybe you, as I, in time past, have placed it into a shirt pocket with the point extended, or maybe it begins to leak. Sometimes a regular old fountain pen will develop a leak. Have you ever gotten that ink on your shirt pocket? It makes an indelible, lasting mark, does it not? Say, oh, by the way, you and I do the same thing with our lives. We make an indelible mark upon the consciousness of those with whom we associate from day to day. I remember that Jesus said to his disciples in Matthew chapter 5 at verse 13, he said, "You are the salt of the earth." Now think about that. Oh, we know about the preserving qualities of salt. Salt cured meat, for instance. Oh, but it's far beyond that, and much more could be said about the qualities of salt. One thing is that it makes food tasty. Doesn't take a lot of salt. No, just a little bit, but it makes food palatable. Oh, when you are a faithful child of God, you demonstrate to this negative world in which there's all kinds of disturbance and problems and dangers and difficulties that life is really worth living. Because as a Christian, you follow the Lord's teaching in Matthew chapter 23, you're not concerned with the immediate existing circumstances, except by way of prayer to God, who controlled all of these things. We have peace. I remember that Jesus said, "These things have I spoken unto you, that in me you may have peace." Oh, in the world you have tribulation. Oh, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. What is that? John chapter 16 at verse 33. Why, sure, the peace that passeth understanding abides within the heart of the faithful child of God. Philippians 4 at verse 7. We understand that. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your forbearance be known unto all men, for the Lord is at hand. In nothing be anxious, but in all things by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And that seventh verse, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall guard your hearts and your thoughts in Christ Jesus. So as a Christian, you are indeed the salt of the earth, preserving influence, indeed. Righteousness exalteth the nation. Sin, that's a reproach to any people. Proverbs 14, verse 34. So in your conduct serving the Lord, righteousness is exhibited, and that is the basis upon which God will give continuity to the nation. So you're the salt of the earth. But he went on to say in verse 16 to his disciples, you're the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hid. Oh, neither do men light a lamp and put it under a bushel, but on the stand, where it shineth unto all that are in the house. Even so, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. The light of the world. Your life is influential. You are going to impact, either for good or for evil, upon the lives of all with whom you come in contact. Now remember that in Revelation chapter 14 at verse 13, we read, "Blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them." Now that's an interesting thought, isn't it? The word blessed means happy. Happy are the dead? No. A thousand times no. That's not what he said. Listen to it. Happy are the dead who die in the Lord from henceforth. Oh, then they rest from their labors. Right. They are in the bosom of the Almighty. They know the joy and the bliss of heaven. Blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from henceforth, yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors. Now listen to this. And their works do follow them. It's an interesting thing about a life of righteousness. It's always remembered and productively by many with whom you have come in contact. A righteous act is never lost. You ever throw a pebble or rock into a lake? Sure you have. Did you notice the ripples? Where do those ripples end? On the distant shore. Oh, righteousness in this old sinful world? The ripples end on the shores of eternity. Yes, they rest from their labors, and their works do follow them. You recall that statement in Hebrews 11, verse 4. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, through which he had testimony borne unto him that he was righteous, God bearing witness with respect to his gift. Now notice, and through it, he being dead, yet speaketh. I learned so many things from that verse. Abel did what God said. He offered his gift by faith, Genesis chapter 4. Oh, and I am benefited immeasurably by that fact. Say, I emulate his conduct. I seek to walk by faith. That is, simply doing what the Lord said do. So then, this old pen makes a lasting, indelible mark. So do you in your life. That's why we have to give an account to God in the final analysis. For we must all be made manifest before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the deeds done in the body according to what he hath done, whether it be good or evil. 2 Corinthians 5, beginning at verse 10. So then each one of us shall give account of himself unto God in the day of judgment. Romans 14, verse 12. You remember that statement in Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verses 13 and 14? Solomon said, this is the end of the matter. All have been heard. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God will bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or evil. Yes, sir, you make an indelible mark, an impression, a lasting impression upon all with whom you come in contact. So important. Oh, but there's something else about this pen, and we're running out of time, but I want to get this across. You notice it has a clip. It holds on. I mean, you can stick it in your pocket and stand on your head, literally. It won't fall out. That clip holds it firm. Oh, Jesus said, you remember in Matthew, what is that, chapter 24, verses 12 and 13? He said, because iniquity shall be multiplied, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that endureth to the end, the same shall be saved. Hold on. Oh, yes. Satan throws every bit of his artillery against you. There's no question about it. Places one obstacle after another before you. There's one kind of temptation after another. Satan is the god of this whole world, 2 Corinthians 4, verse 4. And his arsenal is unlimited, but Jesus has rendered Satan powerless for those who gird their loins with truth, who put on the breastplate of righteousness, who have their feet shod of the preparation of the gospel of peace, who take up the shield of faith to quench all his fiery darts, the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Friends, there's no question about it. With all prayer and supplication, praying at all seasons, watching thereunto in all perseverance supplication for all the saints. Ephesians 6, verses 10 through 18. It is then so important that I remember that through Christ, I have the power to overcome Satan in this old world. I can hang on. Yes, sir, it isn't easy to be a Christian. There's all kinds of influences brought to bear. All kinds of temptations, no question. But if you'll read his book and make application of the principles contained therein, you can hang on. Because iniquity shall be multiplied, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that endureth to the end, the same shall be saved. You know, someone has said the pen is mightier than the sword. That's right. We say, boy, wars are started. This shot was fired. Wars are started with a stroke of the pen. Wars are ended with a stroke of the pen. That's sad. The pen is mightier than the sword, however, only when it is usable. If it won't write, it's of no value. Is your life usable? Can the Lord use you in this old world to demonstrate His righteousness. Friends, the greatest resource of any nation is its people. You have unlimited power for good or for evil. Will you give your life to the Lord? Serve Him faithfully? Object lessons are fundamentally important. However, they're used only to demonstrate the value of the spiritual man. And it's so important that we properly place the emphasis in our lives. No, it's not upon the external. Sure, that's important. It is an opportunity to represent Jesus Christ, to serve Him who died to redeem our souls. But it is from the heart that we serve. It is the inner man, the spiritual man, that is productive in the spread of the cause of our Master. So then, friends, let us adorn the inward man. Sure, nothing wrong with looking your best and being neat and attractive, and so that's fine. That's fine. But don't forget, the inner man is important. Adorn him with righteousness. Adorn the inner man with a Christ likeness. Give your life in humble obedience to His will.